Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So you've had a notice about a scam. I think actually your chief deputy, Randy Tiff, was the one who was primarily leading this, but or a fraud. I don't know what you want to call it exactly, but a check washing scam in mailboxes.
Yeah, people will put like they're going to mail off their house payment, and they'll put a check in the mail, and they'll put it in their mailbox, raise the flag, and then somebody drives by and sees the flag up, so they know there's mail in there, and they take the letter and then wash the check. There's a chemical they can use to wash the check, and then they put in their information and an amount of money, or fake information, actually, and a certain amount of money, and go cash a check, and you're, you know, it comes right out of your bank account.
I feel sometimes like, you know, we're 1950s mindset people trying to make a society with other people who are just absolute scoundrels and deadbeats. Yeah. And, you know, it's like the Amazon delivery package, like porch pirates. This is people who go through a neighborhood and will look for the red flag. Oh, look, there must be something in there. And obviously you wouldn't mail something that's not important like that. So it must be a check. And they just grab people's checks.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, you know, and this actually happened. My wife put a letter in the mail, or a check in the mail, and this was back in probably 1998 or 99. And sure enough, it got taken. And ever since then, she's learned her lesson. And we do everything electronically now. We don't mail checks for any reason.
You know, we tend to do a lot of stuff. My wife, she's the one who pays the bills. She does it electronically. Some things, you know, like I think she told me she writes like 3 checks a year or something. But at the very least, your recommendation would be don't put it in the mailbox, but take it to the post office?
Yeah, go to the post office, drop it directly in the box, and that way you don't have to worry about it.
Do you think there's sort of this collage or constellation of behaviors that we all are reluctant to change because changing it means admitting we don't live in the kind of place we want to live in. It's the don't lock, you know, locking your doors, locking your car, you know, that kind of stuff. It seems like this is all kind of in that same vicinity of, I just don't want to have to admit that we live in a world where my mailbox isn't safe.
Yeah. And especially in a place like Santa Rosa County, where we have an extremely low crime rate.
Yeah.
And, you know, people have not locked their cars and not locked the doors to their houses for so many years. But, you know, we have such an influx of people coming in here. I mean, we're probably up around 230,000 people now, whereas, you know, 10 years ago, we were probably at 180. So it's insane the amount of people that are moving into our county, and all of them are not nice people. Most of them are, but all of them are not nice people. And then you just have more crime that comes with that.
You know, it's funny, too, how when you have a place that's a slow immigration zone, you kind of acculturate people, you know, more. When you have a quick influx, you know, the infrastructure to teach people what it means to be a Santa Rosan just doesn't operate the same way on all of those people, unfortunately. So, I can see that as well. You guys had a memorial. What, on Friday was your memorial service?
We did. Unfortunately, we had to add another name to our wall, Sergeant Dale Berry, and passed last year. It's you know, it's a somber event, but it's something that needs to be done. We have to remember the people that gave the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah, and you had, I think, Senator Doug Broxson was there because, of course, his dad was killed in the line of duty, the sheriff, back in the day, right?
Yeah, Christmas Eve, 1959, he was killed by a drunk driver in Holly. So, and you know, Doug Broxson, the Broxson family is very unique in the fact that, you know, his father was sheriff of Santa Rosa County, his mother was sheriff of Santa Rosa County, and his brother was sheriff of Santa Rosa County all at one point. So their roots run deep in Santa Rosa, and we love them for it.
Most definitely. Sheriff, there were a couple of things in the news that I was going to ask you about. One is that we've been talking quite a bit about this since the Supreme Court case. They heard the geofence warrants case. You know, the bank robbery happens at 1 o'clock and they go and ask Google for all of the phone location data for people between the hours of noon and 2, and then whittle that down and eventually try to find a suspect out of that. Chief Winstrom, you know, he had said that he uses those or has used them in the past, and they're an important law enforcement tool for big crimes with, you know, concerns about applications to your pictures, your emails, your calendar, other things in the future, or, you know, people who are on the wrong political group, kind of that kind of stuff. Does Santa Rosa County, have you ever used geofence warrants like that?
Yeah, we do. And it's only in really big cases. I think the majority of the ones we use them for are homicide cases, you know, or abduction cases, okay, things like that, that are pretty exigent that, you know, you, it's not for stuff. Oh, somebody stole $10,000 worth of stuff from Walmart. I mean, we're not going to use it for that. We're going to use it for something that's pretty much life or death.
But you also, in not at all, this, it's the same name and concept of geofence targeting, but you do use geofence targeted advertising. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, definitely, 100%. We have large agencies like NYPD and LAPD. We geofence them to where, you know, you pull up Google and our little logo comes up with a patrol car in front of the beautiful Gulf of America. And it says, come live and work where other people vacation. And we've gotten a lot of good officers from that. So it seems to work pretty well.
So geofenced advertising for LAPD and NYPD has produced some good influx for you. I like that. That's clever.
Yeah.
Hey, the last thing I was going to ask you about is interesting story in the PNJ. I haven't had a chance to talk through it too much this morning, but basically the claim was that black drivers get disproportionately pulled over and searched compared to white drivers, and you know that the numbers depend very much on the county, how much out of line it is, but anywhere from like 4 to 8 times as often. It's still a pretty low search rate compared to the overall population of people who are pulled over. This is meant to show that there's racial bias in the policing, particularly among FHP. What do you, every agency, I know you guys do it, Escambia, PPD, everybody does things to make sure that officers are not racially profiling, but talk to me about what you guys do and, you know, maybe without having maybe read the article, but how do you answer that concern for the populace?
Yeah, you know, the majority of our vehicle searches come after dog alerts. So, you know, we'll have like our cat team, they'll be out in a specific area pulling over vehicles and we'll have a dog assigned to them pretty much and they'll get bait.
Okay, hold on. What is a cat team?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a arrest team. We have two guys that all they do is go around, serve warrants or go into high crime areas and patrol. That's their one function. And so they'll usually have a dog assigned to them. They'll pull over cars. And then the dog comes up and if the dog alerts and the dog is colorblind. So if he alerts and then they search the vehicle. So that's the majority of our vehicle searches. That's the way that occurs, you know. And even on patrol, you know, we have probably 20-something dogs out there. So they're pretty easy to get to a traffic stop. But, if we find an officer is just pulling over, you know, crazily pulling over just, you know, black people or Hispanic people or whatever, we deal with that. You know, you have to have probable cause to pull a vehicle over.
And so so that's something that you track. I know a lot of other agencies, you track exactly that data to make sure it's not being inappropriately used.
Yeah, well, in a way, but not the way you're thinking. There's no set way to track for us anyways. The way we do it is our sergeants who have each sergeant's assigned probably 5 to 6 deputies. Their task is to keep on track and monitor their deputies. And then, of course, the lieutenant has like 6 sergeants and he's supposed to monitor them and it goes all the way up the chain of command.
Got it.
And if, you know, if you're a sergeant and you have one officer that only pulls over black people, that's an issue. And he's expected to deal with that.
So just back to the cat team. So is it standard for, if I get pulled over for speeding in Santa Rosa County, is it standard for, assuming one is available, to have one come, or is it only if you have a reason to be suspicious about my particular car or my behavior or something like that? What is the practice in Santa Rosa?
Yeah, it's usually something besides just the reason for the stop. So let's say we pull you over because we run your tag and it's expired. And so we get up there, get your driver's license, come back, and we run your driver's license, and we see in our master name index it pops up, habitual drug offender. The dog's coming for that.
Okay.
If you know, you're on probation for narcotics use, the dog's coming. If it just comes back valid license, hey, you've never had a run-in with us, now the dog's probably not coming for that.
Okay, and that's what I was curious about because I don't think we'd ever exactly talked about this before, and you know, I could see a world in which, you know, almost every traffic stop has a search, and I can see a world in which it's only, like you said, it's based on, you know, there being some under, because you don't have to have probable cause for a dog sniff. You can just do it because outside the car is outside the car, right?
100%. 100%. So, but yeah, they use the dog, you know, pretty sparingly. If they have some other reason besides the reason that stopped to have the dog there, they'll call. But yeah, you don't want to run a dog around 55, 60 vehicles in one shift. The thing will go home and pass out on the couch. So,
and you know, yeah, it'd be exhausted. And just, I only say this for people who might not have been listening to us talk for a long time, like over the course of years, but you and I had a lot of conversations a couple of years ago when the medical marijuana came on the scene, because rule was that marijuana smell is no longer a justified, a probable cause search, because it could be legal, it could be illegal. And so you actually had to retire dogs and train all the new dogs not to alert on marijuana, that marijuana smell, even for an officer, is not a probable cause justification for a search, right?
Correct. So all our dogs that we have currently on the road, all of them, none of them are trained in the marijuana smell, except for two of them. And both of those work in the jail, which obviously you still can't have marijuana in the jail.
Right.
So but all the other dogs, yeah, they don't alert on marijuana.
So if you smoke weed and the dog alerts on you, it ain't the weed. They found something else.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Sometimes, you know, you'll find weed, but then you'll find something else shortly thereafter. So,
Very good. Well, that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I thought it was an interesting story, and I knew it would help us teach some people about some things they might not know about, and that's why I wanted to talk about it. Sheriff Johnson, as always, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yep. Take care, Andrew.